Good morning, everyone, and welcome again out into the bush. There's some rain around, and so I just hope and pray God will keep the rain off until we get done recording. Today, I would like to go back to the Gospel of John, and we're going to look at the last recorded words of John the Baptist that was recorded by the Apostle John. So go with me to John chapter 3. You'll probably recognize that chapter. I mean, it's a very popular chapter, John 3:16, for God so loved the world. But we'll not go there. We'll come back and deal with that at a later time. So let's just keep our focus on John the Baptist. So go with me over to verse number 25. But let's pray. Father, open our eyes. Let us see what you want us to see in your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. John chapter 3, begin reading in verse number 25. Then a dispute arose between John's disciples and a Jew about purification. So they came to John and told him, "Rabbi, the one you testified about and who was with you across the Jordan is baptizing, and everyone is going to him." John responded, "No one can receive anything unless it has been given to him from heaven. You yourselves can testify that I said, I am not the Messiah, but I've been sent ahead of him. He who has the bride is the groom. But the groom's friend, who stands by and listens for him, rejoices greatly at the groom's voice. So this joy of mine is complete. He must increase, but I must decrease." You may have just noticed that there's a bunch of mozzies around, so I had to go back and double up on my mozzie spray. So let's get back into our text. If you look closely in verses number 25 and 26, there's a little bit of controversy that's developing, and if you look closer, jealousy is breaking out. Verse 25, "Then a dispute arose between John's disciples and a Jew about purification. So they came to John and told him, 'Rabbi, the one you testified about, and who was with you across the Jordan, he is baptizing, and everyone is going to him.'" Come on now. You see, the Lord's disciples started baptizing, and John's disciples said, "Everybody is going to them." Well, I think they're feeling a little hard done by because they were the only ones baptizing up to this point. Let's make it personal. You ever been upstaged by someone else? I've been there. It's not much fun, and many times you get frustrated and angry, and you start exaggerating things, and that's exactly what's going on here. As they said in verse 26, everyone is going to him. Everyone's not going to them. They're still baptizing people, but that frustration is building, and we got to be careful that we don't exaggerate when the pressure gets on. So anyway, Jesus and his disciples were gaining momentum, but if you recall, that's what they were supposed to do. John was simply a forerunner. Now, Jesus, the Messiah, is on the scene. He's going to work. So John the Baptist gives his questioners a very mature response. Verse 27, John responded, "No one can receive anything unless it has been given to him from heaven." Hey, guys. If they're baptizing more than we are, then it must mean it was God's will for them to do that. I wish we could learn from that. You see, we say that we believe in the sovereign God, don't we? But when the pressure really gets on, do we still believe in a God who's in control? Well, think about Job for a minute. He lost his cattle. He lost his family, his kids, and then he lost his own health. You know, if that was us, what would we be doing? I know. I'll leave that one up to you. So what did Job say? He said, "The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. blessed be the name of the Lord. Job was hurting. This wasn't just minor, it was major. He was hurting, and he was hurting badly, but the Bible says that he never accused God. It would have been good for John's disciples to have known that story. Then John continues his response, verses 28 and 29. You yourselves can testify that I said, I am not the Messiah, but I've been sent ahead of him. He who has the bridegroom is the groom. But the groom's friend who stands by and listens for him rejoices greatly at the groom's voice. So this joy of mine is complete. That last phrase tells you John's deepest thoughts. Yes, he's decreasing. His disciples are getting frustrated, but yet Jesus and his disciples are increasing in joy. And John says, this joy of mine is complete. In other words, he knew his job, and he's secure in the fact that he's done his job. He's completely and successfully accomplished his role. Then John says something that I want to spend some time with. Verse number 30. He must increase, but I must decrease. Let me read that again. Think about it. He, that's Jesus, must increase. Me personally, I must decrease. His job was done. Messiah is on the scene. John is saying that he must fade from the scene. How many of us would do that? Come on now, honestly. How many of us would willingly do that? You see, most of us are greedy in nature. We want all we can get, and we would have a very hard time to purposely fade from the scene. But if the truth be known, we as Christians are supposed to do that. Now, let me explain myself. Paul summed it up real well in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 15. And he died, speaking of Jesus, and he died for all, so that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for the one who died for them and was raised. We must decrease, he must increase. You see, we're supposed to die to ourselves and become alive to Jesus. Now, here's a searching question. How are we going with that? Have we died to the flesh? Have we crucified the flesh? Have we allowed Jesus to permeate us and live through us? Let's look further. You know, the baptism formula that we use paints the same picture. Romans chapter 6, verses 4 through 5. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too may walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in the likeness of his death, we will certainly also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Remember I say the baptism, buried in the likeness of his death, raised to walk in newness of life. We're supposed to die to the old self. And that baptism pictures that death. But when we arise to allow Jesus to live through us. Are we doing that? Have we crucified the flesh? Have we allowed Jesus to come through and start living through our lives? Listen, that's something we need to think about. We must get the flesh out of the way and let Jesus live through us. Listen to this closely. Our fleshly desires and the fullness of the Holy Spirit can't live in the same place. Let me say it again. Our fleshly desires and the fullness of the Holy Spirit cannot live in the same place. I believe the man that best typifies this crucifying the flesh and living to Jesus was the Apostle Paul. And he wrote in Galatians chapter 2, verse number 20, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So the big question is, are we living that life of faith? I mean, completely. So what does it look like to die to yourself? What would we start doing to live according to Jesus? Well, let's look at the life of Jesus. When Jesus addressed the man that was paralyzed, he didn't just feel sorry for him, as we often do. He did something to help the man. And in Jesus' case, he healed him. When Jesus was approached by the lepers, he didn't turn away as the current law was to do. Jesus reached out and touched the lepers, although he could have contaminated himself, but he did it in a way that encouraged them, and being Jesus, he just healed them. I read the story of a man who went to Calcutta to view Mother Teresa's ministry. As he stood there, he said there was line upon line of lepers waiting on their last few minutes of life in this earth. But then the sisters were going also up and down these lines, offering a touch, a word of encouragement, a bit of love, a bit of comfort. And then it dawned on him, how did these sisters, these servants, keep doing this day after day after day? And then it hit him. They were simply following the example of their master, who was Jesus Christ. Are we doing that? Honestly, ask yourself that question. Are you following the example of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? The whole ministry of Jesus was characterized by Jesus reaching out and touching people and changing their lives. Whether it was a tax collector that most people hated because most of them were dishonest and they were thieves, maybe it was a woman with a very, very bad reputation, Jesus didn't turn them away. He spent time with them, and he changed their lives. So now, what should we do in response to his example? Remember, Paul wrote, Jesus died so that those who live, that's you and me, should stop living to ourselves, crucifying the flesh, and should start living for the one who died and rose again, living to Jesus. Would you say that you'll start living for Jesus and mean it? Would you do that? Will I do that? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for the challenge from the life of Jesus. John the Baptist said, I must decrease, he must increase. That's what we're supposed to do. Help us to do that, Lord. I ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. There's a little song we used to sing. To be like Jesus, to be like Jesus, all I ask, to be like him, all through life's journey. From earth to glory, all I ask, to be like him. And now I want Zach Williams to sing a song, and it says the same thing in a much different way.